On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Sports to the max here on a Monday night. One of the big stories over the weekend, Minnesota, number one Wisconsin at Ritter Arena, and the Golden Gophers pull off the sweep. Golden Gopher head coach Brad Frost joins us. Brad, that was a lot of fun. Wow, what a weekend.
It was, as you mentioned, it was a lot of fun. Team played really, really well, and were rewarded for their efforts. Really happy.
You know, we had talked leading up to the series. I was sitting in for Maxie on Thursday night previewing the series, and, you know, part of it was maybe putting that weekend split with Minnesota State in the rearview mirror, and your team certainly did, and played two tremendous games. You know, number one, Wisconsin, this rivalry is just tremendous. And, wow, and a lot of success this season against Wisconsin. Their only defeats have come at the hands of Minnesota.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Obviously, they've been kind of the cream of the crop the last couple of years, winning the last two national championships. And, you know, for us, we had not swept Wisconsin since 2016. And Wisconsin had not been swept by anybody. Since 2018, so really happy with overall with the weekend and just the way that our players gutted it out and played so hard.
Yeah, 1-0 after two in the opener on Friday, very tight game, and then ultimately prevailing 2-1. Going back to Friday night, Brad, what stands out for you?
Well, really good goaltending from Michaela Paul. She played great, but. You know, Amy Potomac, one of our seniors, was called for a five-minute boarding penalty about halfway through the third period and disagreed with the call, but it's what it is. And Wisconsin scored about 20 seconds into that to tie it 1-1, but we were able to kill off the rest of it. And Amy came out of the box and with about 2.5 minutes left, scored the game winner on a beautiful backhand 2-on-1. So some retribution there for her, and I know she felt really good about it.
Yeah, and those majors can be obviously game changers. That could have been the game.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, they did get one on the on the power play there, but you know, just really had to buckle down and kind of keep it to one, and then we had about 6 minutes to in the third there at the end to go win the hockey game, and they did.
Yeah, and then to come back the next night and a little bit more wide open, 7 total goals scored. You hang on for the 4-3 victory, and if memory serves, you were up 4-2 after two.
Yeah, that was kind of a crazy one in the in the first period. Wisconsin went up, we scored right away to tie it up. They scored again. We scored 14 seconds later to tie it up 2-2, and then we're able to get the go-ahead goal there towards the end of the first to make it 3-2. So extremely different from the night before, which was the pucks weren't really going in the net for either team. But we did get up to 4-2, and Wisconsin scored on a 2-on-1 early in the third there to cut it to 4-3. And again, team just kind of locked it down and played really well in the third to hang on.
And a lot of balance in the scoring there as well. The names that showed up on the score sheet Friday night, some new names on Saturday, and that's got to be gratifying.
Oh, for sure. I think, you know, one of the things that separates our team this year is we have three forward lines that are all contributing. You know, our third line with Audrey Weddington, Savannah Norcross, and Amy Potomac, they were on the ice for both of the goals on Friday. And then kind of our big line of Heisey Skaya and Barine ended up getting two or three there on Saturday, including the game winner by Taylor Heisey. So, we need scoring. We need that balance from everybody, and this past weekend we were able to get it.
So it is a weekend sweep of number one Wisconsin, but it is the regular season, and there's still a long way to go. And as we talked about on Thursday night, Brad, another huge series, this time on the road with Ohio State, and another opportunity. And I suppose it's one that you want to celebrate a little bit, but then quickly turn the page and set your sights on the Buckeyes.
No doubt. This is a really big series coming up. You know, Ohio State, we played them our first series of the year. They were able to sweep us at our place, two really tight games. But, you know, we know that our team is significantly different. We've grown in a multitude of ways, and now it's a matter of going out there and proving it. So a big series for national as well as WCHA implication.
Yeah, and this is a series you've talked about, Ohio State and the connections there, and you know, it definitely has become a major program in women's hockey fairly quickly.
Yeah, very much so. Nadine Muzzerall, my former assistant, has been out there. I think this is probably year six or seven for her, and you know, they've been hovering right around that number two or three spot all year in the national rankings. And Emily West, a former player of ours, is one of her assistant coaches, and so there's you know, some familiarity there. But yeah, they've done a really good job here over the last number of years.
Yeah, and I'm sure they want to beat Minnesota badly, and you know, that adds something to it, doesn't it?
It does, for sure. And you know, I know they want to beat us, and we want to beat them, and which is the way it's supposed to be. So. Should be an exciting weekend.
Yeah, and Brad, we've talked about it. This is a good thing for women's hockey to have these rivalries in good teams week in and week out. Once upon a time, Minnesota, UMD, and everybody else. But the fact that there are more teams and more good teams, I think, makes it a lot more interesting and is great for the game.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, you look at the poll that just came out today, four teams receiving first place votes: Northeastern, Minnesota, Ohio State, and Wisconsin. And then Duluth is number five. So it's, as you can tell, it's jam-packed at the top, and four of the five national ranked teams there in the top five are from the WCHA. So it's a grind every weekend for sure.
And the last big road trip of the regular season as well. After that, you stay pretty close to home.
Yeah, we've got some home and homes with St. Cloud and St. Thomas and Bemidji coming to town. So, you know, it's hard to believe we only have four more weekends here before playoffs. But once again, we know the second half flies by, and this weekend we'll have a big impact in where we finish in our league standings here.
And you get the sense that you may get another shot or two at Wisconsin before it's all over.
Oh, for sure. Yep. We usually play them five or six times a year, and we've only played four times so far. So whether it's in the WCHA tournament or in the national tournament, I'm sure we're going to see them again.
And it looked like good crowds at Ritter for both games. And I know that's always a lot of fun for these young women to play in front of. It's such a great building and such a great atmosphere. And it looked like the fans turned out. It was fun.
No doubt, it was by far our best best attended weekend, and was really the people that showed up were treated to some really good hockey. So hopefully they'll continue to show up and continue to come back, because our players and our opposing players deserve to be seen.
Well, Brad, always good to visit with you. Congrats on that sweep, and good luck on the road in Columbus.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Steve. Take care.
All right. There he is, Brad Frost, Golden Gopher women's hockey coach. The big sweep of number one Wisconsin at Ritter Arena. How much fun was that to get it done on Friday, 2-1, and then come back on Saturday and win it 4-3. They'll be in Columbus Friday afternoon, 5 o'clock our time, and then Saturday at 2 o'clock our time. And then they return to Ritter, Bemidji State, in early February. A home-and-home with St. Cloud State and a home-and-home with St. Thomas to close out the regular season. Weather-wise, you heard about this earlier. I want to remind you again. A wind chill advisory in effect from 9 o'clock tonight until 10 a.m. on Wednesday. Now, by the looks of the extended forecast, this might be the last real cold stuff for a while. I'm not going to say we're out of the woods, this is it, it's going to warm up, spring is around the corner. I'm not saying that, but I am saying that things will get better out of this wind chill advisory. Wind chills as low as 35 below during this stretch, and this does include the Twin Cities and points to the east and the south. Other parts of the state of Minnesota in a wind chill warning. And when I look at that map, that wind chill warning is areas to the south of the cities, to the west, and then to the northwest. And here in the Twin Cities, you head up to Duluth and then east into Wisconsin. That's where that wind chill advisory is in effect. So nevertheless, it gets to a point where it's just downright cold. And that wind chill warning for a large part of the area, but here in the Twin Cities, a wind chill advisory from 9 tonight until 10 on Wednesday morning. And then by Wednesday, things are going to start to warm up a little bit. 20s will feel pretty good. It is 7:17 here at News Talk, 830-WCCO. College player from Kansas State set the NCAA Division I women's single-game scoring record with 61 points. She's from Byron, Minnesota. We'll talk Ioka Lee in a moment here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. I got tipped off by producer Jonathan Lowe on Sunday that a record was broken in NCAA Division I women's basketball. And the record breaker happened to be from Minnesota, Byron to be exact. Ioka Lee set an NCAA Division I women's single-game scoring record with a whopping 61 points for Kansas State. Kansas State beat Oklahoma. The unranked Wildcats are 15-4. Knocked off the number 14 Sooners, who fell to 16-3 in a 94-65 win. And Lee went 23 of 30 from the field and didn't attempt a single three-pointer. This is what makes it more amazing. This is an old-school 61. 23 of 30 from the field. She added 12 boards to notch the double-double and was 15 of 17 from the free throw line. Now, Chris, any line at any level, 61 to set a record.
Yeah.
And you're doing that inside and at the free throw line. That's pretty cool.
I don't.
That's pretty cool.
I didn't even think that was possible. You know what I mean? To actually be able to set that record, but yet not have any of those shots be three-point shots. I mean,
she didn't attempt a three in the game. That's what makes it more amazing.
And that's crazy. Like, you think about all those shots that she had to take in really a small in a small part of the court. Because, I mean, if she didn't do anything beyond the three-point line, like right now I got a couple games on here in the studio, and I'm just looking at it, and it's just, it really does make it amazing that you can have somebody set a record like that. But, yeah, it's literally just two-point field goals. Now, what would make it even more impressive, did she shoot some of those free throws underhanded, the old Rick Barry granny style?
No.
Oh, see.
I don't think so.
Okay.
But I love the number, 23 of 30. She's from Byron. She was a Ms. Basketball finalist. And her previous game high was 43. She put up against Central Arkansas in November. Now, she is 6'6".
Yeah.
So
that helps.
A big advantage in the post.
That helps.
But still, 23 of 30, and then going to the free throw line and hitting 15 of 17, mm-hmm. that is very legit. Now, here's some other numbers.
Okay.
She broke Brittany Griner's Big 12 single-game scoring record of 50 set back in 2013. You've heard of Brittany Griner.
Yep.
Of WNBA fame.
Yes.
And she also broke the old record of 60, first set by Cindy Brown of Long Beach State. She scored 60 against San Jose State way back in 87. And Minnesota's Rachel Banham tied it. And I remember this. When Banham scored 60 against Northwestern in 2016. So she puts up 61 in the victory. And she's from Byron. And by the way, I invite you to check out Jim Suhan did a really nice story on it. Nice column on Ioka Lee's record. So that's pretty cool. And I think we love it when Minnesotans get their name in the record books. And this is a pretty cool record. 61 points, you know, at any level
mm-hmm.
it is legit. And the fact that she's from this neck of the woods playing down at Kansas State, that is a feel-good story.
Well, I mean, you know, we can – I've never known – and I love Minnesota. I'm from here, you know, intentionally moved back here, you know, knowing what the winter would have in store. But there is not a place in the country that I have been, Steve, that just eats up the local angle like we do. Like, we,
oh, yeah.
I mean, that's,
absolutely.
You inject that stuff into our veins because it is just, and I say that kind of tongue in cheek because anytime anybody from Minnesota does anything noteworthy, oh, you bet your sweet rear end that we are somehow going to jump on that and we are going to say, hey, look at that. It's, you know, so-and-so is from here. So-and-so is connected to here in some way, shape, or form. And it just, it makes me giggle in not like a, not a mean way, but just kind of one of these, you just shake your head. And of course, we're going to always, you know, be proud of somebody that's from here that's got roots. But man, nobody loves the home cooking like Minnesota.
And I think that is an upper Midwest thing because I spent about 10 years in South Dakota. You were in South Dakota mm-hmm. for a time as well.
Yep.
Same deal. I mean, when Mike Miller left Mitchell and went down to Florida and
oh,
had a
skinny.
Good run in
oh,
the NBA.
Man.
You know, Skinny was
the
a
man.
Big deal.
Oh,
I mean,
Skinny,
he could have run for governor.
Yes.
So, you know, we love that angle.
Remember the shot
agree.
That he made in the finals that he only had one shoe? He lost his shoe and he hit a baseline three, like in a finals, like a series clinching win. And it was just, I mean, you would have thought that they would have had a parade down Phillips and Sioux Falls for him.
I called one of his games, one of his regular season games at the Corn Palace.
Yeah.
One of the Sioux Falls teams went out to the Corn Palace. It's about 70 miles straight west.
Yep.
And I always joke, you can do it in under an hour.
you can, should you?
Well, I always, and way back in the day when I was doing Sioux Falls High School hoops, they were in a league with the Sioux City schools. So there is Sioux City West and Sioux City North, and then the Catholic school was Sioux City Helan.
Okay.
And the big Catholic school in Sioux Falls
was
O'Gorman.
Yep.
And it was called the Sioux Interstate Conference. And I love that league. And Sioux City is about 70 miles down the interstate from Sioux Falls. And I don't know if I can get in trouble after all these years. I could get to Sioux City in under an hour. Easily.
It would take you longer to get to Sioux City than it would to get through Sioux City.
Well, once you got to Sioux City, you know, getting to the football stadium, it was Roberts Stadium, right there by Morningside College, and then you go to the various high school gyms. But, yeah, I mean, oh, I'd fly down I-29.
And I assume you were not using a station vehicle, right? I mean, of course you
No,
were.
No. This was personal vehicle.
Yeah.
I was taking all the – no, there were no call letters. There were no call letters on the vehicle.
Yeah. You don't want to be flying by parents going 90 miles an hour.
No. I had the deep tinted windows and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I could see you with the, you know, with the heavy tint that's just on the hedge of being illegal. I could see that.
But what was cool about it, so made a lot of road trips to Sioux City for football and hoops. But occasionally we do non-conference games. And, of course, you know, state tournament games, whether they're in Rapid City or in Sioux Falls, they'd rotate. And, you know, I had a chance to see Miller in the state tournament, of course, but a regular season game at the Corn Palace. And that was kind of cool. And he was a very special player. But he... You know, he still has that legendary status in South Dakota.
Oh, he's an icon.
It kind of circles back around to, you know, everyone has a story about seeing him play in high school because he was that good. I mean, he was one of those players. It's kind of like, you know, Jalen Suggs at Minnehaha Academy or Chet Holmgren or
Khalid Elamine
Tyus or Trey Jones at Apple Valley.
Sure.
You know, I called a lot of games of McKinley Wright, the fourth, who ended up out at Colorado and is now on the Timberwolves roster. And I think people like those stories when McKinley Wright was out at Colorado, you know, I was happy to say, not only have I seen him play, I've had a chance to call his games.
Well,
I think people take a lot of pride in that.
It humanizes it, too.
Absolutely. And I'm glad McKinley Wright is back in a Timberwolves uniform. I still think he has a bright future, and he is a good player. Anyway, 7:31 here at News Talk, 830-WCCO-11 update on the weather. Still a whole lot more to come here on Sports to the Max on this Monday night. Maxie, a rare night off. Chris Hein, we'll talk Timberwolves. The Timberwolves, a big win over Brooklyn. We'll get into that in a little bit. Here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. Timberwolves get a good win over Brooklyn at home. Now they hit the road, tough trip. Portland, then a back-to-back at Golden State in Phoenix this week. Chris Hein covers the Timberwolves for the Star Tribune online at startribune.com. Chris, how you been?
I'm doing good, Steve. How you doing?
Yeah, good to visit with you. A little tired of the weather, but... after a brutal Tuesday night, things are going to moderate a little bit on Wednesday. I'm not saying we're out of the woods, but I wanted to say we're out of the woods weather-wise.
Well, I got out of the woods myself today. I'm in Portland, and then I go to San Francisco and Phoenix. I got a little sunshine in my life this week.
Oh, yeah, Phoenix.
Following the Timberwolves around.
And then are you going to hang out in Phoenix for a couple of weeks?
Right. if only the Star Tribune would let me, I totally would. But unfortunately, no. I'll be coming back after the game.
Yeah, and this is a tough trip. But let's talk about the win over Brooklyn. Granted, no Kevin Durant, but still James Harden, still Kyrie Irving, and still a team that, when Durant comes back, is an NBA title contender. So a very good win for the Timberwolves on Sunday night.
No, absolutely. Even though Durant was out, I still don't think it takes all that much away from the win when you have Kyrie playing and you have James Harden out on the floor. I think this week has been overall a good week for the Wolves. They had the meltdown in Atlanta. But you look at what they did last week. They got a win over Golden State. They got a win over Brooklyn. Got a win over the Knicks. On paper, coming into that week, it could have been a rough week. They got a little lucky with the injuries and kind of how, you know, Curry misses the Golden State game, Durant misses the Brooklyn game. You know, that could have been a potentially 1-3 stretch that they ended up going 3-1 in. So they cleared a tough week of the schedule. They're in decent shape right now, and they got some good news today. You know, Anthony Edwards left yesterday's game a little early, and it looked like he banged his knee or something along those lines. But he does not appear on the injury report today, so he appears good to go for tomorrow night here in Portland.
Ought to be young, because it didn't look good. I saw the video, the way they carried him off the court down the tunnel. I was like, oh, this could be devastating.
It did look bad, because he couldn't walk on his own. He had to be helped back into the tunnel. But, you know, here we are 24 hours later or so, and he's not even probable or questionable. He's not on the injury report at all, which means he's going to play.
Yeah, very, very good news indeed. And there's been a theory floating around that as the NBA kind of soldiered through COVID-19 and teams bringing up guys from the G League and just trying to patch together lineups, that the Timberwolves maybe found something else, or found something out about themselves and what kind of players they had on their bench, and probably made them a little bit better. And I am buying into that theory. How do you feel about it, that, you know, even though it's not ideal that players were out for an extended period of time because of the health and safety protocols, that it probably helped Chris Finch understand what he had a little bit more?
Yeah, I think there is a little bit something to it. You know, the biggest player who benefited from the COVID absences was Jalen Noel. And you've seen him become one of the most important scorers on the team over the last month or so here. He took an expanded role because the starting lineup was essentially out for a few games there in late December. He grabbed a hold of an opportunity, and he's run with it. And he hasn't really let up since he's entered the rotation. And he's provided some important scoring off the bench, because I think he can do kind of what not a lot of players can, especially coming off of the Timberwolves bench, which is just go get his own shot in the half court. He's very good at creating his own shot, getting to the basket, scoring from the mid-range, hitting threes. So, and he's combined that with some decent enough defense that he's not a liability to the point that he has to be kind of taken off the floor because his defense is lacking, which was not always the case in his first two seasons. So he's been the biggest revelation over the past month, and he's, like I said, he's become an important part of the rotation here the last 3-4 weeks. And I just think in general, you hear them talk after the games, and one of the things that I think the starters learned, like Carl Anthony Towns, D'Angelo Russell, is that, you know, moving the ball was lacking before these COVID absences, and they saw kind of how the reserves played. There was a lot more ball movement. Maybe the shot making by the reserves and the bench wasn't as great, but the way that they played offense was kind of how the Wolves want to play. And they've had one of the, if not the best, I think, offense in the league since early January, over the last 2 weeks or so. So I think they did find something, and just watching the games, recalibrating kind of how they wanted to play offensively, the emergence of Jalen Noel has helped with that. And so I think that there was some good that eventually came of this for the Wolves from those COVID absences.
I want to jump back to that Atlanta game and the meltdown that I think is this team, and Anthony Edwards just in his second year, and Karl Anthony Towns, I still think growing into his leadership role, that it's maybe part of it, and maybe a good experience against a team that did a lot in the postseason last year, the Atlanta Hawks, and the intensity was ratcheted up in that game, that we're going to see more intensity as the season goes on and we get into February and then ultimately into March, and that stretch drive for playoff position, that maybe that'll serve them well down the road.
You hope so. And, you know, the thing about the Atlanta game that I think might pop back up again is, you know, in intense moments, when things do get a little hairy, they get a little frustrating, you know, are you going to revert to those old tendencies, or are you going to show that you've learned from them? You know, and if this team wants to be in the playoffs, competing for, you know, not just a play-in seed, but maybe a solidified playoff seed, they're going to have to learn from these. And especially if they get into the playoffs, they're going to have to learn from these experiences. And you just have to kind of stamp out these tendencies to let the referees get in your head. Look, every team, you know, across the NBA deals with bad calls on a nightly basis. It's how you respond to that matters. And the Atlanta game was a step backward in that. And we'll just see how they do going forward here. I think, you know, you saw in that Atlanta game, Carl Anthony Towns, when he gets emotional and gets demonstrative with, you know, gesturing and complaining, that it seems like it does have an effect on the rest of the team. And D'Angelo Russell kind of, you know, he said as much post game. So we'll see if Cat takes some of that advice to heart going forward here. He's always said the right things when it comes to that, but it always seems hard for him to keep that consistent. To kind of keep a level head on a consistent nightly basis when the calls aren't going his way.
And we will see if there's growth on this trip, because it is a tough trip. Portland tomorrow night will be on the air at 8:30 with Cal Soderquist and Alan Horton. Same deal again on Thursday night from Golden State, and then an hour earlier, 7:30 on Friday night from Phoenix. This is a tough trip. That's as tough a back-to-back Golden State Phoenix as you're going to find anywhere in the league.
Yeah, it is. You look at this on paper and you say, well, you know, the game in Portland tomorrow night, it might be one you have to have on this trip just because the next two are so difficult. But, you know, going 0-3 on this road trip is not out of the realm of possibility. And if it happens, you know, I don't think you should look at it as doom and gloom. The sky is falling necessarily for this team, because Golden State and Phoenix are so good right now, and you know, going into their buildings on a back-to-back is not going to be easy for sure.
Another one for the Timberwolves brain trust: what to do to improve this team, because there's still some need for some size on this roster. Do you get any sense that they're ready to maybe go all in on this group, or at least make a move to help this group get over the hump and have a chance to maybe win a series come postseason time?
I think they're ready to make a move to bolster the roster now. I don't think they are willing to all of a sudden trade significant assets or young players. A lot of significant assets, young players, to improve this roster. I think they realize they have a shot of getting up into the 6-seed range, the 5-seed range. That's what Sachin Gupta, the executive vice president, I spoke with him last week in Memphis, and that's what we were talking about, was he sees this team has an opportunity to not just be a play-in team, but a playoff team, and to get into that 5-6-seed range where you don't have to be in the play-in. So I think there is a potential there for an upgrade. They're going to be buyers at the deadline, but they're buyers with an eye toward the future. And so if you're going to give up young assets, it's not going to be, or you know, draft picks potentially, it's not going to be for rental type players that are just going to help you for the next year. They're looking more for, you know, the next 3 to 5 years. And that's ideally what the kind of player that they want if they sense a move is there to be had. So that's the kind of move I think you can expect. It's not going to be, try to just cut some corners here, get a guy or two in just for the rest of the season. That's not going to be the type of move they make. It's going to be more towards, like I said, that eye for the next couple of years here.
Timberwolves and Portland tomorrow night, that should be intriguing. Then Golden State and San Francisco. And I would love to get out there and check out a Golden State Warriors game in their new building in San Francisco. I've heard it's just phenomenal.
I've been out there a few times now. It's gorgeous. The outside of it is gorgeous as well. It's a beautiful building. You know, sometimes when you're doing the, you know, when you're in the media and, you know, you don't really get the full fan experience when
right.
you're doing kind of, when you're working and everything like that. But just walking around the concourse is beautiful arena outside. It's gorgeous. You know, it's a little different because it's not in Oakland. It's in mainland San Francisco now. So if you're staying in San Francisco, you don't have to truck it all the way out to Oracle Arena in Oakland. Definitely an upgrade over Oracle Arena, I'll say that. But yeah, it's a gorgeous arena, and it, if you can get out there, I definitely would try to get out there for a game.
Yeah, I'd love to make that trip. Well, Chris, always good to visit with you. Appreciate your coverage in the Star Tribune and online at startribune.com. Take care.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it, as always.
All right, there he is. Chris Hine covers the Timberwolves for the Star Tribune. Once again, the lay of the land, Timberwolves at Portland tomorrow night. Pregame 7:30 with Cal. Or I should say pregame 8:30. Tip-off just after 9 at Portland. Then Golden State, same deal. Pregame 8:30, tip after 9 with Alan Horton. And then on Friday night, the earlier start with the 7:30 pre and the tip just after 8 o'clock Friday night. Timberwolves return home to take on Utah, the third of three in a row on a Sunday night at Target Center. And that's a tough stretch. At Portland, at Golden State, at Phoenix, home to Utah. Wow. 10 minutes now in front of 8 here at News Talk. 830-WCCO. It was a spectacular weekend in the NFL playoffs, divisional weekend. Just tremendous. Cincinnati at Kansas City in the AFC title game Sunday afternoon, and then Sunday night the LA Rams host the San Francisco 49ers. Great sports theater. But a huge question looms, and it's not about Aaron Rodgers at the moment. It's about Tom Brady. Chris Tubbs, mm-hmm. producer extraordinaire. Does Brady come back next season?
Yes. Yeah, and I do that. I say that because I read one of the comments over the weekend that said, you know, the ultimate goal is a Super Bowl. I don't think it's going to happen this year. So when Tom Brady feels like this is not the year that he's going to win a Super Bowl and he wants to go out on top like a John Elway, that tells me that he's going to be back for one more year.
Yeah, and that's what surprised me. After he won it all, that's when you ride off into the sunset. That's why I'm surprised when he did win it. You know, outside of New England, outside of Bill Belichick, when he won that Super Bowl in Tampa.
That was it.
For the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That was his shot.
Yeah.
And
that might have been the window for him to go out on that white horse.
Yeah. I still think he comes back next season and takes another shot at it. He's still playing at a high level. Why not? We have the news. We have the weather in a moment here on the CC.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.